Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. It's the only podcast that's brought to you live and indirect from Providence, Rhode Island, via Columbus, Ohio. I am your humble host, John Orlando, and welcome to episode 120. And man, I think I mentioned it a couple of times on social media that I was super excited for this episode, and I'm so glad to bring it to you all here today. And I guess basically the best way to describe it is it's that continuing mantra that this podcast has, and that is the independent spirit, the motivation for creators to go out there and to pursue their passions, no matter what the medium is, and that is going to be clearly evident on episode 120. I am super excited to bring you my conversation I had with Derek Tlaib and Jose Byers, two out of the three people responsible for I-71 movies. Now, I-71 movies just put out their feature film, Dark Iris, just about, I'd say about a week or so ago. It premiered at the Gateway Film Center, and I really enjoyed my conversation with Derek and Jose. Although, I would like to put a footnote out there that their partner, Rebecca Hart Franklin, could not join us. She is located in Virginia, but I do plan on having her come on and give us her perspective of Dark Iris. And so that'll be coming up here in a few weeks, hopefully. But Jose and Derek, it was really cool just to sit down with them and find out about all the good, the bad, and the ugly to creating Dark Iris and several of their other projects, too. We're going to talk about they have a couple of other projects. But one thing I'm definitely want to highlight is you're going to hear their passion. And that's what I think I enjoy most about doing this podcast and having creators come on and talk about their projects is the passion that everyone has. And you're clearly going to hear that when Derek and Jose talk about their various different projects, but in particularly Dark Iris. So with that, I'm not going to waste a lot of time. I'm going to throw it to a real quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Jose and Derek from I-71 Movies talking about Dark Iris. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this episode of the PVD Cast. I'm sitting down with Derek Tlaib, Jose Byers, two-thirds of the brain trust behind I-71 Movies, and of course the motion picture known as Dark Iris. Gentlemen, how are you?
Doing well. How are you
doing?
Very good.
Very good.
I'm doing well. I'm excited to be here. I said that you were two-thirds.
Right.
Because there is another partner that we're kind of missing.
Right.
Rebecca Hart Franklin, who unfortunately is in Virginia.
Yes.
And she could not join us because I'm on location, so there's lots of
things
that I can't do if I was at my house. So
that's right. You'll get her in a couple weeks. You'll get
her
in Skype.
Yes, most definitely. She is more than welcome to come on.
No, she'll do it. She'd love to.
And you guys created the film Dark Iris, which yes, I want to talk about in a few minutes. But I'd like to start off, Derek, by talking to you for a minute about a quote that you said in an article in the Columbus Dispatch.
All right.
Maybe a week or so ago. I don't know.
Okay.
Whenever it showed up. But your statement was this. Quote, what we want to do is make Ohio, especially Columbus, the Hollywood of the Midwest.
Yes. Yes.
I must say that I've had that same philosophy for a long, long time.
Good man, John.
Thank you. Great minds think alike.
That's right.
You know, you have this conversation, I'm sure you've had it, with coworkers or friends and whatnot. What would you do if you hit the lottery?
Right.
And I've always thought that that was what I would do, is I would try to, find a way to promote the ideas of the people of the Midwest, because there are talented people in Columbus.
Yes.
Talented people in Indianapolis. And
yes.
Talented people wherever in the Midwest.
Yes, you know, there are. Very much so.
That you don't get that rub. You don't get that boost because you're in the Midwest.
Right. Right. You're stereotyped that you're podunk town, no talent. They think everything's cow town here until they come here.
Right.
And then they realize, wow, I would like to live here.
Right.
This is a great place to raise a family.
There's a lot going on right now, you know. And with Derek and I, what we like is there's not really too much big stuff production-wise going on from an independent standpoint, like what we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. You know, there are independent, you know, filmmakers and companies out there, but I think we got a special magic that kind of we got a momentum that we're rolling with right now.
And what we want to do is from a making Columbus and Ohio the Hollywood of the Midwest. What I'm saying is, like, we put out the casting call. We had to talk about St. Gabriel a little bit, but we put out a casting call for Dark Iris. We made enough connections that there was such good talent here. We had people that auditioned or sent us their auditions from as far as Colombia, Canada, England,
Sweden.
Sweden, yeah. I forgot about Sweden. Yeah. I forgot about Sweden. Australia.
How can you forget about Sweden?
Yeah, exactly. It's an oddball one. Exactly.
We forgot about Sweden.
Yeah. But they did. They reached out to us, and they wanted to be part of what we were doing. Now, at the time, it was like, look, we can't cover airfare. We can't do hotels. We're looking basically for local people here, mm-hmm. you know, to kind of help us out to get this, you know, done so we can, you know, have something to show us that, hey, you know, we're an independent production company and we're trying to do something.
And what happened was, like, even beyond the airfare and stuff, because for the lead roles, we would have done it. Yeah. Because they were that good. We're going to bring people in for the lead roles. And we had people that had a lot of work under their belt that we could have brought in here. You did a film called Lux and Tenebris. Mm-hmm. They had brought in an actress from all the way from Australia to be in it. And when Jose and myself, and especially Rebecca, we looked at a lot of the auditions and things like that, and we kept coming to people that were in Cleveland, Columbus, Cincinnati, Dayton, that were just as good. Mm-hmm. And so there was no necessity to bring in somebody from mm-hmm. Australia or Sweden or wherever, because we had such good talent here. Rebecca did a lot of the, like, locating some of the people, and, like, when it came to our main character, one of our main characters, Kyle Hotz, mm-hmm. I was cold on at first.
Really?
Yeah. Kyle's okay. Gonna hear that and go, what? No. I was like, I wasn't feeling him at first. Rebecca was the one that was like, no, Derek, trust me. He can do this. He can do this. And I said, so let's see him again. So I kept looking at him and said, you know what? He's good. Kyle had the dedication. He practiced the British accent to the point where at the premiere, people thought he was British. Mm-hmm. And when he wasn't British, they were like, what? You're not British? He really nailed it.
Yeah.
And he got another role after that he actually used a British accent in.
Yeah.
And Jesse Jensen, she had to do a Russian accent. And here's a talking about dedication to the craft here in Ohio. Oddly enough, Jessie's in Michigan. But she's only like 2 or 3 hours away from us.
Okay.
And her husband said, man, when she was getting ready to get this role, I didn't see her for 24 hours. She knew she had to speak Russian. She learned Russian in 24 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
And wow. Was like, when she got here, she could speak some of the stuff we needed her to in Russian.
Wow.
And she had the accent down. Yeah. She studied with friends that were from Eastern Europe. Her husband said, no, you don't understand. She inundated herself.
Wow. She engrossed herself.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
And so that's why we're like, there's so much talent here.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. Yeah.
You know, like yourself, you have this nice podcast. You have, like, our cinematographer, Andrew Thames, Jordan Graytek, who did our sound. Jeff Wexler did our gaff and our lighting. Mm-hmm. These people.
Justin Malinke,
who did all of our. He was our utility knife. He did everything. I mean, literally everything. And Mike Fisher, who's my roommate from college in New York, who's won 2 Emmys doing sound engineering. All these people came together and worked with us to kind of make this happen. And it's all about relationship building. Mm-hmm. We built relationships with all these people over the years, like we were trying to get this company together,
right.
Including Rebecca. Rebecca, at first, came in as an actress for St. Gabriel, and she busted her butt, and we kept seeing her grinding for us and doing stuff for us, that there's no way we couldn't let that be ignored. Mm-hmm. So it was like we had to reward her, and she's now a full owner in the company.
Well, let's talk about Dark Iris. Could you, for the listeners at home, maybe give a brief little summary of what the film's about?
Without giving it away, the film is about a main character, Iris, who feels that she's being stalked. And the problem is the FBI are investigating murders that are happening around Iris. And she thinks the FBI are there because of her stalker. comes to find out that they're there because people are being murdered around her. Her stalker is not just a normal stalker. A stalker is a trained killer. Mm-hmm. And the trained killer has people that are after them. And so Iris is in the middle of trained assassins, the FBI, and a program that has trained these assassins.
All right. And originally started off, as you mentioned, as a short film.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So why decide to turn it into a bigger full feature?
Funny you should ask that. like you said, Dark Iris was a short. We shot it on a Sunday afternoon, actually pretty much all day Sunday. So it was like from 10 o'clock to like mm-hmm. 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. Two locations, which one was Derek's basement, and the other was a parking garage that I park in for my day job. The funny thing about Dark Iris is when we first did it, we put it out there. We put it on, I think we put it on YouTube. We put it on Facebook for sure.
Yeah, just kind of show people.
Yeah. What we were doing. Mm-hmm. And we got like a couple people said, oh, that's pretty good. And then nothing. Then absolutely nothing. Like nobody said anything about it. So we were like, Right. Well, maybe they didn't like it, you know. So.
And what happened was, it was funny because what happened is we got I got an email from somebody in Los Angeles that said, hey, we saw Dark Iris. It's great. Can you submit it to our film festival here in Los Angeles? And we said, okay.
Yeah, it was the film festival noir.
Yeah, film noir.
Yes. Okay.
Style of film.
Mm-hmm.
And we submitted it there, and we won. And we won, like, two different awards there.
The Grand Jury and the Maverick Award.
Yeah, okay. New filmmakers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we entered it into the Origins Film Festival here in Columbus. And the thing that we found is that this little movie I wrote, and it took, like, 15 minutes. I wrote it at lunchtime because we wanted to... We're doing this television show called St. Gabriel. We're going to use Andrew Things and Jordan for St. Gabriel, our sound and cinematographer. They couldn't do it. So we had to test Fred McHistory or Juice. So let's see how Fred does. And so he said, well, let me write something real quick. And so I wrote this up in like 15 minutes.
Okay.
And Fred did a great job on it, nailed it and everything else. And we're like, good. So he edited and everything to it, and then we ended up putting like on YouTube just for like a throwaway script. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, people really liked it because they liked the premise of it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They liked the premise of the and the story grew. We had to flesh it out and make it grow.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of our friends, Amy Clark, put us in contact with David, and David put us. He read the script and he was like, I love the story. He goes, let's make this bigger. Get David Gwynn, mm-hmm. who's our executive producer. Mm-hmm. And he ended up saying, let's make this a feature film. And so he put his money where his mouth was, and he trusted us to run with it because we knew production. We've done it before.
Mm-hmm.
Jose has done a lot more of on the acting side, a lot more of the writing side.
Okay.
And Jose's more in front of the camera. He's been like Captain America, Winter Soldier, Lux Tenebris, Iron Wrath, a few other things.
Mm-hmm.
And Rebecca has done like modeling, acting. She's been in several productions. And we just found there was a lot of local talent. And then we all kind of mesh. The three of us really mesh well. And it helps that we're a diverse group, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Two African Americans, basically, and a female.
Mm-hmm.
And we all came together and we all have a. Bring something different to the table. We'll have different strengths.
Yeah, sure.
And we kind of complement each other. With Dark Iris, it really came together because we didn't make it like a normal independent film. We wanted to make it better than that.
I was going to ask, what do you mean by that? But okay, so you wanted to make it more epic, bigger?
Bigger, yeah.
Yeah.
And we had to make it within the budget. And so what the thing was, we had... the thing we kept getting was that people that saw it and came to the premiere was... We weren't expecting this.
It's, right. They were expecting something that's going to be a little bit lower level. You think independent film company, they don't think, you know, Paramount Pictures, they don't think Lionsgate. They think, okay, well, you know, this is going to be like a little cheap movie I rented on Redbox.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure, yeah.
And we totally didn't want that. We had a vision of, when we talked to Andrew, And he's talking about the lenses. You know, we were telling you about the lens. You know, it's like the camera is the camera, but the lenses is what makes the picture. Mm-hmm. And so we sat down with Andrew, and he researched this for about 6 weeks,
yeah,
8 weeks, something like that, and wanted to get the best lenses to shoot on. And he sat down with us, and he said, guys, this is what I came up with. This is what I want to use. This is what I think is going to make your guys' picture look like a $1 million picture.
And we've all seen those indie films. That yes. Not, let's not lie. We sure. have.
Yes,
I
we
mean,
yes.
I've been to some film festivals, and you're like, wow, that made it, huh?
Yeah.
That made it in.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, right.
All
right,
man. Good yeah. for you.
Yeah, thumbs yeah. up. Yeah. And the thing is that we, like, I remember my wife, actually, we're here at Creekside Cafe, where we filmed a good portion of the movie. This Creekside served as the backdrop where Iris worked. Mm-hmm. And so we want to thank them for letting us use it. Using
yes,
it
most definitely. We want to thank Anna, who's sitting over at the bar. Thanks for letting us come in here and invade your territory.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
She's in the family now, so she's just, it's, yeah. she has to.
Yeah.
But we, it was so funny. My wife came here, and we filmed one of the first scenes here. And Andrew, our cinematographer, and I, we yell at each other. Because I'm the director, he's the cinematographer, and we go back and forth. He goes, blah, 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 blah. We go back and forth. My wife's like, oh my God, I can't take this. This is crazy. She goes, you guys yell at each other. I go, that's how we talk. I said, we love each other. I said, that's how we communicate. I said, because he cares. I like a guy that cares.
He cares
about what he's doing. And he's like, no, we can't do that because of this, this, and this. And then we thought about this. And I said, well, no, we won't do that. But we learned, because we had to do this in such a compressed time. We did this in 2 weeks.
I was
going
to ask what the timeline was from start to finish.
We did this in 2 weeks. We shot in 2 weeks. We had to take off work.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to shoot this. Sometimes we had 48-hour days where there was no sleep, just went straight through. Mm-hmm. And that includes cast and crew alike, and they just committed to it, and they just did it.
I mean, sometimes we're wrapping up at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, go get a couple hours of sleep, and then we got to be back shooting again at, mm-hmm. what, 1, noon sometimes?
And then as a director, like, on this particular film, Rebecca was one of the main actresses in it, but she also served as one of the producers. So it'd be literally... Like Jose was saying, we'd be done at 4 in the morning, go get 2 hours sleep, change, and because we're doing directing and producing stuff, right. back on set, it's at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the morning or 8 o'clock in the morning to set things up. That includes the crew, because we have to set up, tear down, right. everything else, and then special effects. Like, we had the live rounds and the guns and everything like that. It was...
Yeah,
crazy.
that was pretty insane.
Did you find it a challenge? Because you two and everyone else had to be in the film and also do all this other stuff. Was that incredibly challenging?
Oh, absolutely. It was a challenge, because what happens when you're in a small production company like what we have is everybody wears many hats.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you act, when your scene's done, then you go help, you know, direct or produce, or you head up, you help with props or tear down or set up. You got to keep it, you know, moving. Like, the train doesn't stop just because your job, you know, is over.
Right.
You got many jobs, so everybody has to help out, and they have to do it all, except for the crew. They don't really act, but yeah, they do, because we put them in there as mercs.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, so, everybody gets killed at least 3 or 4 times this year.
I was a mercenary. I'm in the movie more than once. At the same time, too. You know?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Men of many faces.
Absolutely.
And he'll do a lot of stuff. We have like a little family here. We have our makeup person, Sophia, who's with us on all our productions. Got Andrew Jordan. Now it's going to be Jeff's going to be part of it. We have Tom Basso, who helped us out with getting locations and so much. He's a Gahanna police officer, and he's in the movie. Does a great job in the movie, but he helped us talk to the mayor, Gahanna, to help us secure locations and things like that. Gahanna's been great to us. Like I said, Creekside's been great to us. It's been, like I said, it's a giant family. Everybody's chipped in to help us out. We're not here because of Jose and I. We're here because everybody else.
Right. Put us there. Yeah, right. That's excellent. Yeah. So, As of right now, yeah. You stated that you got an agent for distribution.
Yeah.
If you don't mind me asking, how did the process of that happen? Like, how does one end up with that? Some connections that you have?
Derek and I, we have a mutual connection, but I think I'm more closer talking to this individual. There's another actor in Cleveland. His name is Jason Wang. He has a smaller production company of himself. And what happened was, I knew that he had got his project distributed over in China. And I just reached out to, you know, Jason, because I think we were in a place where we thought we had a distribution lined up, and it really kind of just didn't go the way that we wanted it to go. Mm-hmm. And so I reached out to Jason, and because he had a project that he had done, and it's called 1337, got distributed over in China, and I guess it did very, very well. So I reached out to Jason. I said, Jason, how did you get your movie distributed over in China? He said, you know what? I talked to this guy, and he helped me out, and I'm going to reach out to him on your guys' behalf.
Okay.
And friend request him on Facebook, and I'm going to let him know that you guys are going to be, you know, talking to him. So Derek went ahead and friend requested him. Him and Derek went back and forth with a couple little, you know, questions about, you know, mm-hmm. what you got going on. Blah. Derek sent him the trailer, you know.
And then let him see the movie.
Let him see the movie. And then from there, this is where you mainly took on
the connection. He said, well, enough. They told you. He says, I'm going to Cannes in 2 weeks. And can you get your movie ready for me to kind of market to Cannes? And so we said, yes, we can. So we did. I talked to the guy.
Pun intended.
Yes, we can. Yeah. So we got the movie packaged, and he went to Cannes. He just got back this past weekend. We're going to talk to him, see how it did over there. Mm-hmm. In the interim, we're talking to about getting it distributed through iTunes, Amazon Prime, and Vudu, to name a few. He's also talking about getting our agent is talking about getting it on Lifetime and a few other things.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that he wants to do is build a partnership with a production company that's going to do like 2 or 3 movies a year.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And he's got some independent films that he works with. He's used to working with independent filmmakers. And we looked at some of the quality of his film. They look pretty good. So we said, yes, this is somebody we could definitely work with. We want our independent films to be a certain level. One thing that we noticed is that you don't have to have a lot of stars in them. They kept saying you have to have a name. And the more we do research, and we find out, not really. Because...
Well, I think too, because, I've been told this, that I think that we are on the cusp of, like, the way entertainment is going to change, you know, mm-hmm. with video on demand, and Netflix, and Hulu, and everyone's looking for content. So now, I don't want to say the bar is lowered, but I think the bar is going to be changed, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be something that's going to be... You know, where you might not need to have the Julia Roberts or the Liam Neeson in your film to be successful.
Right, and that's the thing. It's really going to be the quality of film. People are looking for stories, and you said the key word, content.
Right.
And right now, the change is you can do a web series and get that out there and make money, but you have to up your game. Filmmakers here in Ohio have to up their game. And they have to do it in a way that their films are quality, they look good.
Sound.
Yeah, sound has to be right.
Yep.
I mean, all that. If you can't just go, I made a movie. No, did you make a good movie?
Right.
You know.
And that should be your calling card anyway. Why would you want to put a product out there that's not the best that you can do? Or, you know, it's like, why put something out there that's not your best and everybody's going to know you from that last product that you put out? And it's like, oh, okay, well, they put out that mediocre type product. Yeah, that's probably what they normally do. Right. We don't want to do that. We want to put the best out there that we can with what we have. And that's what we're going to do from now until forever.
Right. And that's the thing. It's like, that's why I said, like, Rebecca, myself, and Jose compliment each other, because Rebecca's usually like the devil's advocate. We'll say, hey, it's black. We'll see, what if it's white? And it's white, and this is. And so she's really good at that. And it helps compliment us, because we'll sit here and we'll look at all angles of things. And like Jose is talking about quality, we really don't want to put anything else that's not quality.
Right.
And it really bothers us when something is wrong. And there's a lot of good filmmakers here. There really are. Mm-hmm. Like Jason Wang is a good filmmaker.
Right.
Tim Novotny is a good filmmaker. He's one of the guys in our movie.
Right. And we're not discrediting any other filmmakers out there.
What we're
saying is, like, we have a certain level of quality that we want to see our films be.
Right.
And we want people in Ohio and in the Midwest to also be thinking that way and all us work together.
Right.
Sure.
We should be sharing resources, ideas, networking, building a groundswell for ourselves. And like I said, they'll come to us. Because they're already starting to come to us. We have that tax incentive now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
For projects and everything. Yeah. We're working with John Doherty of the Columbus Film Commission, who's given us a boatload of information. He said he would help us out when it comes time to actually put a name in our film. We have the music in our film is astounding. We have original music from Gina Ferraro, who gave us like two songs for it. Charlie Gwynn, who gave us two songs for it. Brian or Junior B, he's Junior a B. Reggae rapper
mm-hmm.
who has given us two songs for it. They put it. These are all original songs they gave and donated to the movie.
And then Tim Novotny, he also
yes.
donated some music to the mm-hmm. Movie as well. And everybody just came together. It's like when I say we all wear many hats, this is another thing that we're talking about. Because everybody stepped up, they time, talent, effort,
mm-hmm.
made it quality. Made it, we could use it, we put it in there, it once you see the movie, you'll understand what we're talking about. But we set the bar high for ourselves, and I think we achieved it.
Yeah.
I think we did.
And we have a lot of sacrifice. Our families. I was away from my wife. She had to be very understanding
mm-hmm.
about me being gone for so long. Cause I was gone for literally forever.
Yeah.
I didn't get to go home. So
she
had to be understanding.
Weeks.
Yeah.
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 So let's talk a little bit about, you mentioned St. Gabriel.
Yes.
So let's talk about that. Is it safe to say that was the first project that you guys had?
Yeah.
Okay. So it was
it's a big project.
Television series.
Yes.
So a bigger spectrum, if you will, of what you have to cover than just one feature-length film.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So talk to us a little bit about St. Gabriel.
I actually went to Jose and brought the idea to him, which kind of got us to kind of start working on 571 movies, to be honest
right.
about it.
We were working out at the gym. As you can't tell, we don't work out at all.
But for those that can't see,
right.
because it is an audio podcast, we'll just say that Jose and Derek are in pretty darn good shape.
Well, we try, you know, shake weight, you know.
And the thigh master.
And the thigh master. What happened was we were working out in the gym one day, and we were in between sets, and Derek came to me, and he said, hey, I want to bounce a crazy idea off you that I've had for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay. He said, I had wrote this story called St. Gabriel, and I did it when I was in college, and we turned it into a project, and I turned it in for, I think it was one of your college, you know, mm-hmm. you know, credits for a class. And so he started, you know, explaining it to me and started breaking it down. And I was intrigued by the depth of, and it may have been a 15-minute conversation that we had in between the set, but the level and the depth of what he was telling me about what St. Gabriel was, who was in it, what the characters met, and how they came together, what their common goal was. I was intrigued. Now, one thing St. Gabriel was, it was set back in the 1940s, so I'm thinking 1940 era, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm like, wow, that would be cool, you know, to see all these cool, you know, cars and, you know, costumes and, you know, gangsters and stuff. We didn't know anything about filmmaking. We weren't acting at the time. I had just signed with a talent agency, but I really hadn't done any too much film. I'd done a lot of commercials and print ads and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And I told him, I said, man, you should write that into a book. I said, that sounds like a good book. I would read it, you know.
Right.
And he was like, yeah, you know, but I think it should be like
a movie.
And we're like, oh, okay, yeah, I can see that being a movie.
Yeah.
So we started doing research of how we could possibly turn this into a movie.
Right. What ended up happening was we ended up, by long story short, we ended up doing a movie or a web series that never made it to the web.
Yeah,
it did. A Child Called Miracle, because we shot three episodes of it, and the person that was editing it lost everything on their hard drive.
Oh.
With that being said, doing Child Called Miracle taught us what not to do.
Yeah, you have to start somewhere.
You have to start somewhere. Absolutely.
We learned a lot because really the,
and we're grateful for what we learned.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, most definitely.
Because Nicole Bowles is the one took a chance on us to even write it and everything else and direct it. So that was my first foray into directing. And Jose and I both directed. I wrote the episodes. There were like 6 episodes. It gets down to 3. It was actually looked at by Tyler Perry. And the guy lost all the hard drive. Now, if we're in Columbus, we're moving on to St. Gabriel while they're up in Cleveland trying to get this thing done. So, and they find out that, well, guess what? It's gone. I said, what? We can't do it. I said, well, good luck. We're at St. Gabriel, and we can't do anything now. But if I get it, given a chance, we get moved down the road, I would love to go back and revisit to do it properly. Okay. Because it's a good story, and it does need to be told.
So you do have a trailer for it, though, correct?
Yeah, there's a trailer out there
That's the only thing that's out there.
That's the only thing that exists out there.
Okay. Yes. All right.
And that's when we're just getting our feet wet, so be gentle on us. but we ended up with St. Gabriel, so you know the background of it. St. Gabriel, I'm the writer for our group. Mm-hmm. And St. Gabriel has been written for 20 years. And the characters are very, very, very in depth. There's probably about 31 characters. It is now set in the present day. Mm-hmm. And it revolves around two private investigators, Abraham Kane and Philip Lawless. And they get caught in the middle of a case that ends up putting them in the middle of neo-Nazis, gangsters, demons, witches, and everything else. And you find out that their backgrounds aren't what they think they are, and that they're a key to keep heaven from being taken over.
Okay.
And so it's a really, excuse me, a lot of special effects. And it's like I said, it could be an 8-season run series or a 5-season run series. Again, we use a lot of local talent to shoot kind of like, I want to say have like 25 scenes.
25 scenes that we put in, mashed into a trailer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To kind of show, okay, this is St. Gabriel. We're looking to get this out. At this point, we still don't know. We don't have any connections. We don't know how to get it out. But we know we have something good that people would want
to
see.
Right. And from what I've been told, that's the way to go. You know, you have that 15-minute extended trailer or whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
You know, and show it to people, this is my vision. This is what I can do. Right. Yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm.
And what we've done is, like, we put our company together. That's how we met Rebecca and Mary Lee. And Mary Lee is this gifted actress that's here in the Dayton area. And just a lot of undiscovered talent. Mm-hmm. And what we ended up doing was, when we did St. Gabriel, it really highlighted a lot of our good actors that we're able to use in Dark Iris and figure out how to use them, what the best way to use them.
Well, you also had an entry for the 48-Hour Film Fest, too, right? Yes. Code 207, correct?
Yes, 207.
Right. For those that don't know, 48-Hour Film Fest is it's kind of a marathon, if you will, of filmmaking. Mm-hmm. It's a genre, a character, a prop,
and a line.
And a line, that you have to incorporate somehow.
Yeah. So you go on a Friday night at 7 o'clock, you draw a genre out of a hat. Mm-hmm. Or it could be anything, silent movie, buddy cop film,
Western,
it could be anything.
You just have no idea what you're going to pull.
Right,
and we got
Fish Out of Water.
Fish Out of Water. That was our subject. So myself and Tim Novotny went to the lab, basically, and we hashed out this script, got it to our actors at, 10 o'clock at night.
Yep.
They had to learn the lines. We had to secure locations, and then we had to shoot it. Mm-hmm. And I really think we did a great job. I mean, we won Best Actor, Best Actress, and Best Supporting Actress. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we were told that we came in second or third in every category. I don't know how we didn't win this thing.
Right.
I'm not sounding bitter, but I think we did a damn good job. But the thing is, what I'll say is this. There were a lot of good films there. And what it helped us do is go, okay, we like that person. We can use that person. Like how they did this.
It's also like talent scout.
Yeah, the scouting combine, of course. Right. And one thing that we noticed also was that when we showed Code 207, my brother, who's like one of our fourth members, our silent partner, he said, "Derek, I watched the audience, everybody had kind of lighthearted, kind of funny things on there. Mm-hmm. As soon as ours came up, everybody went, oh, God.
Because it is disturbing. Right. I mean, it is from the trailer that you sent me, or excuse me, you sent the actual film to me, mm-hmm. and I watched it. Mm-hmm. And it is a little unsettling.
Yeah, it's dark.
It's dark. Happy go lucky.
More on the edgier side. And I think that's what the audience saw when, mm-hmm. when they saw our film. Everybody was quiet. You could hear a pin drop. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like, wow.
And the test was the people that entered their films, in the 48-hour contest came up to us and said, hey, your film was great. We want to work with you guys. Let us know if you need us for acting or for anything. Right. We'll work on your sets. They're like, thank you. Appreciate it. So, like I said, we're grateful for getting exposed and it helped us make connections with the Mid Ohio Filmmakers Association.
Right.
MOFA
right.
is great. Yeah. God, there's so many good people that have helped us out, and it's such a good experience because if you're a young filmmaker out there, the 48 hours is a good way to learn how to do some guerrilla filmmaking mm-hmm. and to really pull a team together. And it was great. We had a different cinematographer. Olga Wagner mm-hmm. was our cinematographer this mm-hmm. month. We had our old steady standby. George Graytek was our sound person. Mm-hmm. It was fun. It was fun.
Tim what was the prop and what was the line? You had the fish out of water, which was the character, the genre.
If you remember the movie, the cutting board was the prop.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes, go ahead.
Do it.
Part.
Okay.
The line was, what am I supposed to do with this? When he hands her the dog collar.
What am I supposed
to do with this?
Yep.
And the character was
Christy Bodewin.
She had to be an Olympic athlete.
Yeah.
And so that's when Chris grabs your face. You ain't nothing. That's when we put it all in there.
Yeah.
And then wasn't that tripped out when you saw who the baby really was?
Yeah, it was. It was a grown
woman in the bathtub getting scrubbed like a baby.
Yeah.
I was screaming, I'm not your baby.
Yeah.
I had to pull Tim back. You should see the stuff Tim wanted to do. I said, Tim, no, we're still trying to get this so people can actually see it. Tim was a horror aficionado.
So he wanted to push it real.
I had to pull Tim back.
He wanted people to be going, I'm leaving.
Yeah,
now.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, he likes gore.
I left the oven on. Yeah. I'm leaving. all right, well, let's just talk here for a moment.
Sure.
Derek, how did you get started? Or Jose, how did you get started in filmmaking? Like, what interests you in filmmaking?
Okay, what interests me in filmmaking, and I've said this quite a bit, was when I was on the set of Captain America, the mm-hmm. Winter Soldier. We were in between takes, and I was working with a actor by the name of Frank Grillo. Great guy, mm-hmm. awesome guy. Worked with him quite a bit. He was getting to know each one of us. I played a Strike Force strike team member. Mm-hmm. And so we were in between takes. They were getting the cameras and lights set up. And so he was asking each one of us what we did. And, you know, we all work regular jobs. And he's like, well, you guys aren't full-time actors? And we're like, no, we want to be full-time actors. And, you know, that's why we're doing this. And he goes, good luck. You guys are going to have to go to New York or L.A. for that because that's just not going to happen here. And that struck a nerve with me. That made me say, like, no, I don't accept that. You guys are here in Cleveland filming this movie, and this is a huge budget movie. And you guys came here. You guys didn't film this. They filmed part of it in L.A., but the majority of it was filmed in Cleveland. And I was like, no. We have actors here. We're using all local actors here for this movie. The main stars are the main stars, but the local actors are, you know, me mm-hmm. and a few other guys. And Derek and I got to talking. And Derek, the thing that Derek always said to me, he said, Jose, if we create it, we control it. And that from that point on, I was like, I'm on board. I want to do our own thing now, because the chance of me getting cast again in a movie like that is going to be maybe slim to none.
Yeah,
you know, it's possible, but I'm not going to put all my eggs in that basket for like a hope mm-hmm. and a chance mm-hmm. when I can make something here and I can be proud of my own product and have everybody else that wants to do the same thing on the same level I am, and we can all make it together.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Kind of what Jose said is exactly right. It's that if anybody that's listening, if you make it, you do own it. And if you want to be the person, God, I hope they call. I hope I get that part. But you want to be the person that's casting it and say, no, we're going to cast it. We're going to get the director. We're going to control it. And this is our product. And that's what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Jose and I were on the camera, because we're both great extras in Captain America, the Winter Soldier. And the thing we got to do is we got to work with all the main actors, basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, he worked with Robert Redford. He worked with everybody except Samuel L. Jackson.
Right.
And we, instead of going, oh, my God, we're around all these stars, we were more like, okay, how are they doing this?
Mm-hmm.
What are they doing that? How are they doing this? And we were studying.
Yeah.
And right. We were like, we could do this. And we could do it on a smaller scale.
Mm-hmm.
And the experience, and we're very faith-based, myself, Jose, and Rebecca.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, God's leading us this way.
Right.
And we're like, we did Child Called Miracle to learn how to direct and how to write a script. We're on the set of Captain America to learn how, what goes on behind the scenes in big budget production. Mm-hmm. Everything has led us to certain things, step mm-hmm. by step by step by step.
Right.
And I just think what got me into it was everything I'm about. I love comic books. I love movies. I love creating. I was an artist. All of it came together to do what I do now. I was a comic book artist. Not like Kyle Hotz, who is basically a masterful comic book artist. He's independent now, but he wrote do for DC and Marvel
mm-hmm.
and Dark Horse. But I just did it on my own in college. But it showed me how to do paneling, which is basically storyboard.
Right, sure, sure.
And so when I write, I see things in a storyboard. When I write, I see things on screen, because I studied film noir, I studied movies. I had bad asthma as a child, so I was always inside watching movies. I couldn't go outside and do stuff. So I was always using my imagination. And so I have a gazillion stories. St. Gabriel is a combination of everything. So not to say to brag, but I'll tell you right now, St. Gabriel can be the next big thing because it's got something for everybody. We want to create diversity in our films.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want our films to reflect society, and society is becoming very diverse.
Mm-hmm.
And what got me into it was that drive to say, I have something to say.
Mm-hmm.
I have people that I know can pull it off. And I want to do it. Like I said, we wanted to build a family.
Mm-hmm.
We have a strong family feel to I-71 movies. We're an extended family. We love people, and we don't treat people with disrespect. We don't exploit our actors or actresses.
Mm-hmm.
We want people to feel welcome. We want people to feel comfortable with who mm-hmm. they are. What I like about I-71 movies, we have Republicans, Democrats, gay, straight, black, white, Hispanic, Polynesian, whatever, we don't care. I don't write my stories to say, well, I wrote this for a black woman, or I wrote this for a white male. I let actors be actors. In Dark Iris, go back to Dark Iris, there's Roman and Fry, the two FBI agents.
Yep.
Fry was written for a man.
Oh, okay.
A male was supposed to play that role, but it was written so that anybody could play the role. You think that a man could play it, so I'll write something that's somewhat masculine and then put a woman in it because that will make it something special.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you write something that's somewhat feminine, you put a male in it and it makes it something special where they can interpret it differently. Right. And I like to give my actresses something to work with. I like to write deep roles and make women more than just, oh, I'm a just window dresser.
Yeah.
No, you're yeah. something in this movie. You
right,
carry
right.
stuff. Just, I mean, if you see the movie, my God, Mary Lee is just a basic badass in this movie. And all our women in this movie are just so strong, and the women are strong. I like to write complicated characters. And if we do get to do St. Gabriel, the television series, it's going to be epic. And that's the thing that we have to get here in Ohio, is people with money to invest in the arts and invest in quality and get put money behind it, because we can go to Atlanta. We went to Atlanta, or not Atlanta, we went to Georgia. We've had offers from Georgia, New York, and California for the same stuff we got here.
So is that one of the main frustrations?
Yeah, it is.
Is getting the money?
Yeah, it is. It is, because
money. I mean, we haven't really done a lot, you know, to show people that we've done a lot with a big budget.
Sure.
We just haven't.
Right, right, right.
We just never had the opportunity. So it puts us at a deficit. It makes us have to work a little bit harder. But mm-hmm. the thing about that is we believe in what we're bringing to the table.
Mm-hmm.
Is if we have a meeting with you and you ask us, okay, well, what is this project that you want? How much do you need? And what do you need it by? I mean, we can go through and say, this is, you know, what the project is. This is how much we need. This is what the money's going to be used for. And this is what the end, you know, product it should be.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
we'll just go right down the line. And
very organized and meticulous.
Very organized yeah. and meticulous. And we believe in it. And that, I yeah, think that's true. What helps us, you know, come across other people. It's like, man, wow, you know, these guys really, you know, believe in what they do and what they believe. And of course we do.
We're better stewards with their money than they are. Because, seriously, because yeah. we've had to make, we only had limited funds.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've squeezed every last dime out of those movies because we figured, yeah. hey, how can we cut corners here? How can I change the script to do this? Rebecca is Ebenezer Scrooge when it comes to the money. She'll sit there and I'll say, Rebecca, I need a script for $550,000, $750,000, and $1,005,000. And she okay, and she'll go and she'll work on it. And give me three. She'll
break it down, yeah.
So we know if we have to ask for a named actor, it's gonna cost this much. It's gonna cost this much of a SAG, and we got to pay these different people this. She'll break these budgets down, and everybody brings something to the table, so we can all eat. And so the frustrating thing is literally I was on a phone conversation for 15 minutes with a guy from Georgia, and he was. Boom, ready to come down. Let me see it. I love what you guys are doing. He's bringing it down here. And we've had it in Georgia. We've had it in New York. We've had it in California. And we're like, people are willing to give us money like that. But we can't get it here.
Here.
And right. It's, and it's frustrating because I'm like, you understand the market you can have here.
Right.
You can bring. Yeah. We've done enough that, made enough connections. I think if we have the money, we could make something that in film and television series here ourselves. And cast it with Ohio people, at least Midwest people,
mm-hmm.
and show what we can do. We can bring other productions here. Because we work with Novotny. We'll work with all these filmmakers that are here in Ohio or surrounding to kind of bring it together, pool our resources together,
mm-hmm.
because everybody just needs that little break. And that's where we're working towards getting that break
right.
and giving back if we can.
Could I put you guys on the spot real quick?
Yes. Yeah. Sure. Why not?
Famous film or favorite film?
Favorite film
of all time.
Wow, that's a good
and
one.
Why?
And why? And how many times have you watched it?
And why?
And why?
Oh, that's a good question.
If you'd like to think about it,
I got mine.
You got yours.
Go ahead.
The Godfather.
Okay.
It's filmmaking at its best. It's
sure.
dark, it's rich in character development, it makes you care about the characters, the writing is intelligent, the acting is superb. All those actors that are in it were really just, when you think about it now, they were up-and-coming actors at the time.
That, you know what, that is something that I've mentioned many times about, like, you don't think about that.
Right, you automatically don't, think, because you're like, Al Pacino. Yeah. Right. He yeah. wasn't Al Pacino then.
Right.
You know, whoever cast, and now that I'm on the other side of the camera,
mm-hmm.
you think, I look at films differently now. I look at stuff and go, oh, wow, that's poorly cast. Or I'll look at, I can't watch, my wife and I watch Grey's Anatomy, and we'll sit there now and I'll critique the acting in Grey's Anatomy because it's become mailed in.
Yeah.
But love Godfather, Rocky, love Rocky because it's just a great underdog story.
Sure, yeah.
Done on a tight budget. He stood his ground, so he got cast in it the way he wanted to cast in it. And I could watch this movie, and I have watched those movies a million times. Glory with Denzel
Washington. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's another good
that
one.
Movie.
I don't know, man. I'm going to go with, and this is going to sound funny. And this
Happy Gilmore, no kidding.
No, because this, I went to go see this film, and I didn't know any of the actors. I'd never heard of them. And what enticed me was just the cars that was in it. It was the Fast and Furious.
Okay.
It was the Fast and Furious. I didn't know who Vin Diesel was. I didn't know who Paul Walker was. I didn't know who Jordana Brewster was or Michelle Rodriguez. Like, it was all fresh to me. It was like, it wasn't a Brad okay. Pitt. It wasn't, you know, Tom Cruise. And at the time, I was into cars. I had a Mustang at the time, so I was into cars. But what captivated me was they were all really believable actors, and I didn't know them from anything. So
Parker's making fun of you.
He's always making fun of me, but you know what? I make fun of him too.
Yeah, he does.
But you know, that question you just asked him, he had it written down. He rehearsed it in the car.
Yeah, exactly.
No, Just in case.
Well, that'll make people even dumber because you got it wrong. I can't even. I'm prepared. That was the case.
No, man. No. That was not. But on the other hand, I kind of like what he said. You know, the Rocky thing, but the Sylvester Stallone, his story of how Rocky came to be.
Yeah.
That is amazing to me, and that's sure. What I feel is my part in I-71. I think Derek too is. We're not going to just go with whatever somebody says that we can do. It's like, you know, you talk about the money and, you know, Georgia and all this.
Right.
It's not about the money. It's the right money, but it's the right place of where we want to do it and putting it right here. That's what we want.
I'll say one thing that helps us is that Jose doesn't quit. I mean, we don't quit.
No.
And
no, we don't know the word quit.
No. And we keep pressing on. And really, it's amazing because You study acting. You do. You study it.
I do.
Rebecca is a studied actress. She decided one day that she wanted to do this. And all of a sudden, she did. She's gotten better and better and better and better. And one of the things that I'll say that is our strength is when we see an actor or somebody, we don't see them for what's in front of us. We see them for what they can be. When we first met Mary Lee, she had done a bunch of movies where they're kind of B movies and things like that, and we looked at her and said, "Oh, she's brilliant. We know she can do much for us." Rebecca is absolutely, you know, very attractive, beautiful girl, but she could do so much more, have more depth of her character, and draw so much out that's what I want to bring out in people. There's a part that Jose doesn't know about yet that he's going to have to do. That's going to draw a lot more out of him. If he gets to play Abraham Kane in the television series, there's going to be so much that he'll have to do that it's going to have to really, it's going to stretch his acting ability. And he got to do a lot in this movie here with Dark Iris.
Mm-hmm.
I like to stretch people. I like to make them grow. I like to write projects that are fun to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I do it in a family environment. And one thing that we're all good at, especially you, is making people feel welcome and making people feel special. I want people to feel special. I want people to feel good about themselves.
Right.
I don't want you to change who you are. Mm-hmm. We want you to be you and be comfortable on the set with us.
Right, because we're all on this ride together.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it's right. Like we don't have any superstars or any prima donnas. We're all equal here. You know, we're all trying to make it the same way. And like Derek was talking about being faith-based, I got into acting through theater and drama.
Mm-hmm.
Through a little church I was attending. And I think it's what God wanted me to do, because the first time it came around to audition, I got scared. I chickened out. You know, I didn't want to do it because, you know, I wasn't too sure of my ability. But when it came back around again, I was able to just say, you know, okay, I'm going to go for it. And from that point forward, it's been nothing but going full steam forward. You know, it's like I put a little bit of faith in you know, into it, and it's carried me. And another thing I want to give just a shameless, you know, plug to...
Go right ahead.
To Rock of Faith Baptist Church.
Oh, God, yes.
And Brother Joe,
who's... Yes.
They've always opened the doors to us to film. We filmed a lot of St. Gabriel in there. Mm-hmm. We filmed a lot of Dark Iris in there as well. And they've always been good to us because they believe in us. They believe in what we're doing, and they want us to succeed. So we always have an open door there.
Oh, also, my God, speaking of that, this isn't faith-based, but RK...
Okay.
Yeah. And this is hilarious. When we filmed St. Gabriel, I had to think, what can we film this that we can have a bar and have access to?
Yeah, that's true.
They're in off hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because a lot of it takes place. Well, me being me, I came up with, I know a place that would probably be like that. If you can find a place as a swingers club. And so we did. We found a place, Princeton.
Believe it or not.
Yes. And the owner of it, who owns a lot of different properties, RK, he goes, "Well, what are you guys trying to do?" We told him, "What are you trying to do?" He goes, "All right, let's come in and let's see the place." So he went on a tour. And
it's 18,000 square feet.
Yeah. And, okay. And it is, that's absolutely perfect for film, yeah, for filmmaking. Because,
yeah, oh my goodness,
Mary Petty gives a tour. Mm-hmm. And because she was a manager of the place at the time, not in the lifestyle, just a manager. And she gave us a tour of the place, and there's all kinds of different, it's a maze, but it's all kinds of different themed rooms. So you have different sets to film in.
Nice.
For everything you want to do. And it was phenomenal. He opened that place up to us anytime we needed it to go in there to film. And a lot of Dark Iris is filming there. St. Gabriel's filming there. Mm-hmm. And he's been more than gracious to actually let us, because he owns a lot of property. He owns like several buildings. And we're going to film probably another part of the movie, one of his other buildings. But my God, it's just like...
Right.
He gave us access to everything.
On that note, yes, I think let's wrap this bad boy up. Yeah, that was out of the field. I wasn't.
Yeah, I'm just trying to give credit where credit's due. Right. You know, exactly. We ain't got no shame in our game. We, like I said, RK is our boy, brother Joe. We got Saints and Sinners, brother. Saints and Sinners.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, yeah. let's talk a little bit about where people can find you on the web. Mm-hmm. Of course, your website. www.i71movies.com. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
You are on Twitter at i71movies.
Mm-hmm.
Many Facebooks, yes. I guess you could say. Many Facebook pages.
Yes, we have i71movies Facebook, Dark Iris Facebook, and then we have the Derek Tal, Jose Byers. We share
there's
our Facebook.
There's also a St. Gabriel the Movie.
Yes,
yeah, there you go. Yeah. All right. Put the movie at the end, by the way. Yeah, you just do at St. Gabriel, there's like 8 million.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's lowercase I, 71 movies all together.
Right. And also Vimeo as well.
Yeah, we're
on Vimeo there too, well. So check those out. Jose, anything else you want to say real quick as we wrap things up there?
John, we just want to thank you for the opportunity to do this podcast with you. Thank you for having us on. We're more than welcome to come back in the future and then do another one with you.
Got it.
Yeah, every time we do a project, John, you'll be the first person we look at and talk to.
Cool.
And I can't wait to hear what Rebecca says. Because you have us two together. When you have Rebecca by herself, I'm going to hear what she says about us. She's probably going to dog us out.
She probably will.
I run everything. I hate those two. They do
And another thing, I just want to give some love and a shout out to everyone out there who's supported us and followed us through this journey and who continue to support us. Without you guys, this wouldn't be possible. You know, and we just thank God for you every day, and we just thank God for these amazing opportunities that we're given right now.
And with that, Derek, anything else there? We're going to wrap things up.
Oh, just again, thank you again, John.
You're quite welcome. Thanks. You guys, I appreciate you guys coming on. I love talking about movies, and so it was great to sit down and chat with you guys, and you're more than welcome to come back anytime.
Oh, absolutely. We'd love to, because like I said, anytime we have to do a project, what we can do is bring you on set next time we're filming.
Sweet.
And then you can do some interviews with some of the cast and
stuff
like that.
I like that. Awesome.
We'll do that.
Good stuff to think about, folks. Hey, with that, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, we'll be back to wrap up this episode. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Derek Tal and Jose Byers, two of the three people behind i71 Movies, and of course the film Dark Iris. I will let you know in the next few weeks where you can catch Dark Iris. Derek told me off air that they are in negotiations to open up the accessibility of the film to lots and lots of people. So stay tuned. I'll let you know when that happens. And also stay tuned because, as I mentioned in the intro, I would love to have the third member of i71 Movies, Rebecca Hart Franklin, come on. And going to work really hard to try to make that happen here very soon. But you know what? Maybe you're just like Rebecca. Maybe you want to get in touch with me. Well, let me tell you the three ways you can do so. First off, you could shoot me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can interact with me on Twitter, and that Twitter handle is @pvdmvp. You could even drop me a note on Facebook on the page for this podcast, which of course is facebook.com/pvdcast. I am going to change things up since we're going super long on this episode. I'm not going to worry about Orlando's faves or an edition of Orlando Hates. I'm just going to tell you about the five different ways you can get this podcast, like you really need to know that. But I'm just going to remind you real quick, refresh your memory, that you can get every episode of this podcast at the official online home of yours truly. That is pvdcast.com. You can listen to it through iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, or SoundCloud. But no matter the method to listening to this podcast, tell somebody. You know, tell a friend or two or three. Rate, review, subscribe. Put it all over the internet, if you will, that you enjoy this podcast, and I will greatly appreciate it. So with that, I'm going to wrap things up, so I will chat at each and every one of you later. Thanks for listening.